Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Miss fans know the number one stop for Golden Eagle apparel is Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Baseball, basketball, football, Campus Bookmart has it covered with clothing to fit the young and old, big and small Golden Eagle in your family. You can visit the store on Hardy Street, shop online at campusbookmart.net, or call in your order and have it mailed to your front door. However you choose to buy, always visit Campus Bookmart first. You won't be sorry. Campus Bookmart and Southern Miss, to the top.
Free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, here we go. New week of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Glad you're with us. Bob, Kelly, Dima, we're all in the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg to kick off a new week of Golden Eagle sports coverage. Opening segment sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Great place for a family meal any night of the week. First football game, home game, about 3 weeks away, so you could line up your tailgate right now, and we guarantee if you do it with Dickey's Barbecue, you will be happy. Quickly remind you about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. You can hear it anytime you like on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. So many ways to get the show, and we appreciate every one of you, no matter how you tune in to the Eagle Hour each and every week. All right. Dima and I were out in the hot sun early Saturday morning. Not sure where Kelly was. Probably.
I saw him jumping on the bouncy houses.
The jumpy houses. Yeah. That's where he was.
But then one popped, and I think all the kids had to get off.
That's when I was. That was the one I was in.
Because they generally use you to like make sure they don't blow away.
That's correct.
The offsetting weight.
He's a big asset on a windy day in the jumpy houses.
A big what?
Asset.
Oh, asset. Okay.
Oh, I gotcha. I know. Okay. You're used to being called the other, I'm sure. Yeah. All right. So the last full scrimmage, and Dima, you were there more than I was. I got there probably about the last 45 minutes of it. Overall, your impressions?
Yeah. So something I wrote on Rivals.com, and I can just go through those three things that I learned. And I think we're about to have Heath on from Rivals, so he can kind of comment on this too. I'd say one, and Will Hall didn't confirm it today, but I think Tate Rodemaker has definitely separated himself in the quarterback position. Will told us today that he knows who his quarterback is going to be. He's just not ready to announce it yet. We do know he will announce it this week. But Rodemaker, you know, he just looks the part. He's what the engine. He's a game manager. He threw some just terrific passes in that scrimmage and really was with that first group every single time. And one thing I did notice is that they gave more reps to him and Ethan and kind of took the reps more away from John White and a couple of the other quarterbacks. I think it was kind of like a final battle, if you will, between Rodemaker and Ethan Crawford. Crawford threw that interception, pick six, to Will James. Will James is a guy who I think is really coming along in the secondary, and that's my next thing I want to talk about is the secondary because I think it is a little concerning. I haven't yet decided, I don't think, whether or not it's completely – the cause of the offense being so complicated, why the secondary is a little miscondobulated, or if it's just the defense not that back end not being as good as maybe we initially had thought it would be. You know, obviously they lost MJ Daniels to that tragic death that we covered, and it's that not to mention the tragedy of the situation, but that element of that player and the player he brought on the field, and the veteran experience he brought on the field, taking that away from already a young and injury-filled secondary. They've gotten better throughout fall camp, but it is a little concerning. 10-plus plays of 20-yard passes or more allowed on Saturday. And so that to me is pretty concerning. It doesn't matter how much you want to blame that on communication, doesn't matter how much you want to blame that on whatever, 10-plus is a little high. And so
So is that good news for the – you're making it out like that's bad news for the defense, but conversely, could that be good news for the offense?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I said I haven't really decided that whether or not it's the offense being that good. The question is the offense that good on the passing game or is the defense just that bad on the passing game? And I don't know if I made that determination yet, but it is a little concerning because I feel like when those – passes downfield, those players were mostly wide open. So, like you're saying, it could be scheme. It could be offensive scheme because this offense puts such a complex scheme in front of that defense that it's so hard to gauge. Your communication has to be on point. That's what Clay Bignall was telling us. But once it got into the 20s or the 30-ons, that defense really did hanker down. They forced four field goals, and that's a pretty big deal to force field. You know, it was pretty easy between the 40s. Or the 35s. But once they got inside the 35, it was really hard for the offense to move the ball on that secondary. So, and the defense in general. So, altogether, pretty good day. I would say Rodemaker is for sure your number one quarterback. And number two, the secondary is something that I would just be a little concerned about headed into week one matchup with Kentucky.
And Coach Hall had mentioned last week on this program that it will probably be tomorrow that he will name the starter, and he is the keynote speaker tomorrow at the Club One luncheon at Mario's in Hattiesburg. And so hopefully, you know, he'll make the announcement then as to who the quarterback
yes.
will be.
So hopefully he'll make the announcement tomorrow at 1 o'clock on the Eagle Hour.
Well, I'm sure he would do that as well.
Yeah. Yes.
If he's available.
Who buys your lunch there? Because I know you're not paying for it.
Actually, I am. I have a job. You've seen my exorbitant contract here.
Yes, I know. You know? I just never see you spend any of that money we're paying you. All right, what did Coach have to say,
Yeah, this
Deemer?
Is him on the quarterback question that Kelly is discussing.
Your answer at quarterback?
Yeah, I think so. I think we've probably known what we're going to do for a while, you know, but we want to let these kids compete. The thing is, I think we're really good at that spot. You know, I think we're good. I think we're dynamic. I think we're different. I think all of them bring something different. And you know, I'm not going to announce that today. I'll do it at some point this week. We'll announce everything. But I think we know, you know, I think we know what we need to do to put ourselves in a position to win this football game this week. And I feel good about it. I like these guys.
Yeah, so that's his thoughts on his quarterback. And to me, if you read in between the lines when he says, I know who it is. I think we know who it's been. I mean, that kind of reading between the lines tells me that that's going to be a guy that transferred in from a Power 5 school.
But he also said, I like these guys.
Right.
Which would lead me to believe that there are going to be, if indeed it is Rodemaker, that there will be some situations where you will see Ethan Crawford. And Bob, you were talking about this in the production meeting. There is not a finer, nicer young man than Ethan Crawford.
No, he's great.
And I think my first question to Coach Hall, once he announces the starting quarterback, if it is Rodemaker, is will Ethan Crawford still have a vital point in this offense? And I'm sure his answer will be absolutely.
Yeah. Well, let me just say this. We'll have the interviews. I interviewed both of those guys Saturday, and you will hear in the Rodemaker interview tomorrow that he kind of slipped up a little bit. And I brought up Ethan Crawford, and he said something to the effect of, yeah, there are a lot of special packages for and then he caught himself. What that told me was that Rodemaker's going to start, but Ethan Crawford, they're going to have some offensive schemes and plays and situations designed to get the ball in Ethan Crawford's hands.
No doubt, and we have seen that play out on the practice field. We're just not allowed to say exactly what the plays were, but there have been plays where he will line up on offense that you're going to be like, what? And it's pretty cool. I just will... Yeah. Energize the fans to be looking forward to that.
Let me say this too, on a side note. I interviewed him Saturday, and then his father came up and introduced himself.
Ethan Crawford?
Yes. And then his father introduced me to his mother, and they were both such gracious people. And I know you know this, Deemer, but that's a high-class family. We're fortunate to have families like that in the athletic department here.
Yes. Ethan is just a fantastic young man. I would say all of them are. I mean, Tate's a fantastic young man. John White is a great young man. And we hope nothing for the best of them. And whatever the decision is, hopefully they can retain all of those QBs in that room and continue to develop for next year and the next few seasons.
Kelly Sander, there was a time when you and I covered Southern Miss sports that – the Southern Miss football team would have been favored to beat Kentucky whenever they played them. I think that's fair to say.
And of course, Kentucky's going into the game, and we'll get to learn more about this next week.
And now I think it's also fair to say they're kind of a mediocre, middle-of-the-road SEC team. Southern Miss capable of going and winning that game?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are. Their stud running back is out, too. Kentucky's stud running back is going to be out.
Yeah, one of those high-paid former Ohio State players.
Chip Traynham, he scored the game-winning touchdown against Notre Dame with 1 second to play last year in South Bend.
If you're going to play these teams, early in the season is when you want to play them, when they're still trying to get their feet wet.
And it's better than Florida State in the second game of the year.
I would think that was a good exchange, Kentucky for Ohio State, and the poor Akron Zips drew the short straw because they have to go.
They may not pass the 50-yard line.
Why does a team like Ohio State play the Akron Zips?
Well, I mean,
you don't have an answer for that, do you?
Well, I mean,
it's
the same reason that Kentucky would play a Southern Miss. I mean, you just have those. It's the same reason Southern Miss is playing Southeastern Louisiana. I mean,
I want to go back to what Will Hall was talking about. I like this
Akron's
the quarterback situation. He said this before. He said that he liked the quarterback.
Yeah, he says he's like,
but yet when Bob, you were talking about the old days of Southern Miss too, rarely was there ever a doubt.
Oh, you knew who the quarterback.
Yeah, you knew who the quarterback was going into the season in the past 4 years.
Can you believe the last 4 years? There's been a QB battle in every single fall camp. It's unbelievable.
And I'm just not sure that's
good. You know
what
you did know in those days, Kelly, is who the opposing quarterback would be, because the starter generally didn't last much past the first quarter, right?
Right. And it didn't matter right after that.
Right, we'll be back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us.
The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour. We're glad you're with us. This segment sponsored by Campus Bookmart. CampusBookmart.net, right there on Hardy Street, where Miss Kathleen is there every day of the week, I believe. They're open Monday through Saturday. You can also shop them online at CampusBookmart.net, or you can even call them and tell them what you're looking for. She'll find it and mail it right to your house. Pretty easy at Campus Bookmart. CampusBookmart.net. Also want to say hello to our friends at Mobay Beignet Company, the official beignet store of the Super Talk Eagle Hour, 2902 Hardy Street.
I will say, I enjoyed some beignets on Saturday at Mobay Beignet Company.
Did you go your first time?
I did. I normally go over there to write for this beautiful man that we have on the show right now. And
you're so kind.
Not you.
Oh.
Heath, that means I'm talking about you, by the way. But no, I went to Mobay, and
Blackberry still the flavor?
I didn't get the blackberry. I got the original, what are they called, beignets?
Yeah.
And fantastic. They were so hot, I had to wait a few minutes. But
you didn't need the dipping flavors? The honey?
I just want the donut. I don't need all the dipping stuff.
The honey butter or none of that?
It's like my father used to say about eating good steak. Why would you blank it up with steak sauce?
Yeah, I like to put garlic butter on my steak, but I don't like any like A1 Heinz.
Yeah,
but you like Mobay Beignet.
I did. I feel like I can beat Kelly in a contest.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, I was in New Orleans a few weeks ago with my family, and we went to that beignet store, and I'm not just saying it because they advertise with us. The beignets here are much better. They're much better than
the one that I'm thinking of in New Orleans.
Right,
that's a bold statement,
and it's not $100.
Yeah, that's true.
That is exactly correct.
I mean, you think I'm
that
joking.
That is exactly correct. I was $45 getting out of that place.
Yeah.
Mobay Beignet, 2902 Hardy Street. It now has The Dema Mixon official seal of approval. Boy.
Endorsed.
Endorsed by the one and only Dema Mixon.
That and $4 will get you another beignet.
Another beignet. That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Bill to Kelly Sanders.
Yes, all right. Heath Hinton is the owner of Big Gold Nation, one of the many employers that Dema Mixon has. He works more than about 10 kids his age normally.
More than the president, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, well, that's a low bar there, Damon. Heath, Damon and I were talking in my office. We're tired of football practice. We're ready to see a game. Heath?
The aliens got him.
Did something
happen? Wait a minute. Can y'all hear me?
My
phone just jumped. I apologize.
Here's how we do this, Heath. We ask questions, you answer.
I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. It's like my phone went blank. I tell you what, I'm ready for it, too. I'm ready for a ball game. I'm ready to watch Southern Miss. Excited to see this pretty much new team. They put together an off season and a team that's mature. And coming from fall camp, what you're hearing, what you're seeing, you got to be excited, guys. You got to be excited for this team and what Coach Hall and his staff have done to put this 2024 version of the Golden Eagles out there. And, you know, kind of we all think we know who the starter is. I don't think that's a big secret. And I'm looking forward to seeing what Chip Long does, because I think with Rodemaker starting, it allows the offense to be even more dynamic and add wrinkles in that y'all may have talked about in the previous segment. I think it makes the offense more dynamic with him starting at quarterback, because maybe you can use Crawford in different ways. It'll be exciting.
Heath, we were talking about this some right before the break. Hall's tenure here, 4 years, this is fourth, every single fall camp, a quarterback battle. How just insane is that?
It's insane. And look, he's had injuries. He's had, it's really insane that they haven't found the quarterback yet. And it's not from not trying. I mean, think about it. He bought a highly recruited kid in his first year. Didn't work out. Second year, you know, you think you may have found one. Things happen. And that young man didn't play any last season. And then you have last season, and he just really didn't have a true starting quarterback. So, I mean, he's had quarterbacks here that, you know, you thought would pan out, but, you know, for whatever reason, they didn't stay on the team for very long. And now he's got one that's mature. He's got young men that are pretty mature. And I tell you one thing about Rodemaker, the one stat line anybody can say is in any of these scrimmages, turnovers, zero.
That's right.
And I think that is the biggest key for Southern Miss. Don't turn the ball over. They've got enough playmaker at certain positions. You just need somebody that can control the offense, make a play when needed, and not turn the ball over. And that's what you see in fall camp.
You know, we've talked about this guy in the past who's no longer here, so we don't want to dwell on it. But Billy Wiles left the Southern Miss program, goes to App State, and they're talking to him. They're talking about him over there like being the second coming, like this is the greatest quarterback they've ever seen. Heath, why do you ultimately, was it system, or why do you think it didn't work out really well here for Billy Wiles?
I think here it was the offense make throws that his arm just couldn't handle. I mean, he doesn't have a strong arm. He can't make the long outs or even the really comebacks. He skipped a lot of passes, even the wide receiver screens. Just didn't have the arm that you needed for this offense, whereas you have three quarterbacks now who can flat-out swing it.
Now,
and I think that's the biggest thing with Billy Wiles. He just didn't have the arm to do it.
We head into week zero, as they call it, of the college football season. There will be some games this coming Saturday. College Game Day will be back on TV to get your day started.
But in Dublin.
This is also a big time of year at Big Gold Nation. Tell us what's going on, Heath.
Yeah, man, we got a 60% off new subscriptions right now. You can go on there and just click on join and type kickoff 2024, all capitalized. Get a year at 60% off, which means, you know, it's $100. That's a $40 deal. You get a subscription to Big Gold Nation for $40 for a whole year and get to listen to and get to read Dema and me and even our old buddy Ben sometimes writing about Southern Miss. We got a good crew over there, got some good guys. I'm very fortunate to have people like Dema writing for me and very blessed. And people will enjoy their writing and what they bring to the table at Big Gold Nation. So for $40 for a new subscription for a year, you can't beat it.
And how long is that offer on the table for?
Till the 23rd, so you got about 4 days to jump up on that offer. $40 for a year. I mean, and you can gift it as a gift to somebody. Maybe you know somebody that's a big Golden Eagle fan. Gift it to them. Keeping up with recruiting. We got football right now, basketball. Working on the story now since Little League World Series is out. Maybe talk to a former or talk to a current Golden Eagle who may have played in that Little League World Series. So just a lot of fun things happening at Big Gold Nation.
A sidebar question here, Kelly. You may know the answer to this, but how many Little League World Series are there? It just seems like every time I turn around, there's another one.
No, well, Little League is the sanctioning body. So there's
right.
there's one. Now,
right.
there's tons of youth baseball World Series.
Okay.
But what I like about the way that the Little League World Series is conducted is you have to win in order to advance. In all these other ones, it's write us a check. And if it clears,
you're in.
You could be statistically the worst team to ever be assembled in travel baseball, but as long as that check clears, you get to participate in our World Series.
Are there too many youth World Series?
Yes.
It dilutes.
In Dizzy Dean World Series, if you're the host and you're hosting the World Series, you're automatically in it.
Yeah, you don't even have to be any good. You don't even have to.
You can just be. Little League's totally different. It's fun to watch. And let me tell you something. Those kids can play ball. You watch some of the plays they make in the field. It's amazing.
And normally the winner of the Little League World Series generally beats the Detroit Tigers. So.
This is true. This is true.
But that's a low bar.
That is a low bar.
That's a really low bar.
For 12-year-olds to beat a major league baseball team.
Look at him. He's just stunned. He don't know what to say.
The people who win Pop Warner usually beat the Washington Commanders, too.
Thank you, Heath.
Well, that doesn't surprise me a bit.
Speaking of the Commanders, they just named QB1 Jaden Daniels.
And speaking of the Detroit Tigers, the same Detroit Tigers that beat the Yankees last night.
Wow.
And beat the Yankees 2 out of 3 this weekend in a series.
What's the overall record?
We're 2-1 against the Yankees.
Now, what's the overall record
of the Yankees?
And why are you?
Okay, Kamala over there.
Yeah. Kamala, you're a Tigers fan, but you're wearing a twin shirt. I don't know. Undoubtedly, you got it free, but I mean, how did this?
Now, let me tell you about how I pick my wardrobe. It's whatever's clean.
I don't want to hear this.
Right. Kelly, as a Tigers fan, you can't be unhindered by what has been.
No.
Okay? You've got to be careful on
Heath,
that.
He's wearing a Minnesota Twins shirt right now.
But it's the only thing. It was either this or my Casper the Friendly Ghost trick-or-treat costume
Duggan.
From about
Jack
5 years ago.
That.
Yeah.
Jack Duggan appreciates that twin shirt.
Did you bum that off
Matt
Walner? Did you bum that off of him when he was here?
My son worked in player development for the Minnesota Twins.
So he gave it to you. Now we're getting around to it. So you really didn't spend any money on the shirt.
No.
Did you not go to his graduation either?
Whose?
Did you go to John Carter's graduation, or did that interfere with a car wreck?
I don't think he graduated. I think I had to buy off the counselors at Oak Grove just to get his diploma.
Heath Hinton, thank you for your time, brother.
Hey, thanks, guys. Y'all have a good day, man.
Heath Hinton, Big Gold Nation. Dima?
That was an interesting segment.
Yeah, in segment 3, they'll have some more fun at my expense. I'm sure.
Monday. We got plenty of time to bash Kelly. Hang around.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back. 4th Street Bar and Grill sponsors this segment of the program. That is where we will be the Friday before the Kentucky football game at 4th Street Bar and Grill. On the road this Friday, we'll be talking more about that later in the week. We'll be in the beautiful city of Laurel this Friday afternoon. Always look forward to that. This segment of the show, again, sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill, where you can get a great lunch, where you can have a great meal at night, where you'll always see the Southern Miss game. I'd be willing to bet you fellas that the Kentucky Southern Miss football game will be on the TV at 4th Street Bar and Grill.
I know Dima's got a fantasy football draft a little bit later on today. 4th Street's a really popular place to have, you know, your fantasy football drafts, too, because there's plenty of room to spread out. And, you know, nobody's going to see my sheets, buddy, when it comes time for the draft.
I just kind of wing it. I don't really do any preparing.
Which means you'll probably win the league.
Yeah. I won last year.
Did you do any prep last year?
I just picked the guys I knew.
So how high is Jordan Love going to go?
Not high.
Okay.
Well, at least not on my board.
Yeah.
I'm going for Travis Kelce, CJ Stroud, and I need a running back.
Well, you just lost stock on Bob's board when you said Travis Kelce.
Yeah, I'm sick of them already, and the season hadn't even started.
Well, I was thinking about going home, and since he plays at home, you know, every week, kind of reminded me of him.
So. Yeah.
And you wonder, you know, Frank Gore Jr. has had a really good preseason with the Bills. You got to wonder, you know, as an undrafted free agent, you know, what really are the odds? I'd really like to know the numbers of undrafted free agents, of guys that make these teams. Even though their numbers in preseason are pretty good, but you see more and more teams holding their starters out, you know, for whatever reason.
Kelly, a lot of those guys end up making special teams. I don't really see Gore being a special teams player, do you?
No. You're right. I don't, Bob, because he's not a punt returner. He's not a kickoff returner.
Well, one thing Patrick McGee said on Friday was sometimes the other teams will be watching these preseason games and piecing together maybe a player they need. So maybe the Bills don't have room for Frank Gore Jr., but maybe, you know, say the Dolphins or the Jets, or somebody.
That's what you hope for.
So can pick him up and say, we have a spot for you. We need you.
And Swayze Bozeman's tearing it up, Bob.
You know, he's doing really – he seems to be doing really well with Kansas City. Now, you'd love to see him make the team. What are the odds of that, you know?
Especially that team.
Yeah, especially that team.
Because they're – because like them or not, which I don't in any way, shape, or form, but they're pretty good.
You miss Tom Brady, don't you, and the Patriots, the more you watch Kansas City.
Like a cold toilet seat, I miss Tom Brady.
What did that come from?
A cold toilet seat.
I do not miss Tom Brady.
Hey, you guys, I've been watching a little NFL preseason. It's hard to watch the whole games, but can you determine anything about these teams when you watch them? Because like last night, Purdy didn't play for San Francisco. Christian McCaffrey didn't play. Understandably, why?
Well, Purdy played the first quarter, I think, or first couple of series.
Purdy started.
I didn't watch the game, so I don't know.
Yeah, I think he did. I think he played.
I didn't get it right at the start, and then I saw him later in street clothes.
Yeah.
So they must have taken him out of the.
One thing that I'm noticing about watching the NFL games is that if all of these teams' starter goes down at the quarterback position,
they're done.
They're in big trouble.
Well, here's something interesting about the NFL. So I hadn't thought about asking you guys about this. This weird new kickoff rule.
It's terrible.
I mean, they are returning kickoffs, but it's so weird that the. You know, the kickoff teams are close to each other on, I think, the 35 or 40.
Yep, 35.
You can't move until the receiver catches the kickoff. Your thoughts about that, Kelly?
Actually, I like it. I like it.
And you would like it, Kelly.
Well, what it's doing is what it's intended to do, and that is to minimize injuries. When these guys, we keep talking about how these athletes get bigger, faster, stronger every year. And when those guys are coming from the complete other end of the field with a full head of steam, and you're getting rocked by a guy that's 260 pounds, you know, that's running as fast as they're running. When you have to start at the other end of the field and you can't even start till the other guy, touches the ball, you can't develop a full head of steam, so you can still make the tackle, but not use yourself as a weapon.
My thing is why do we even have kickoffs in the NFL? You know, like, what if we just start at the 25? Just put the ball in the 25.
I'm not sure that. I used to think kickoffs were some of the most exciting plays, but they were virtually gone because they moved the kickoff up, and so they just kicked it out of the end zone.
I've heard that, too. You know, don't have a kickoff. But then the chance that a guy is going to break one, and you remember James Henry?
Well, I think you should give the team the option.
What, to kick it off or just give it to him on
the giving team, the receiving team. We either get it on the 25 or you can take a kickoff.
But like James Henry with Southern Miss, I think, or was it Tony? I think it was James Henry, the Falcons or the Seahawks or whatever. Man, he was a great punt returner for Southern Miss. And you, honestly, you didn't know every time he touched football that he might not take it back to the house.
Recent history, Jalen Adams. Yeah. Jalen Adams for Southern Miss, that guy, good grief, that guy was good.
If you took kickoffs out of the game, you'd be eliminating a lot of players that otherwise are not going to make NFL teams because they make special teams.
Now that Luke's not here, we should just do away with the punt.
Because we know they're not very important.
He said it, not me.
He slipped up one day and revealed while those guys would be practicing, him and the kickers would go under the stadium and order pizza. So there you go.
And the rest of the team couldn't be happier because those punters were strange agents.
All right. Let's move back to Southern Miss. So at Kentucky, not favored to win, Southeast Louisiana, is that right? And then South Florida. 3-9 last year, Demo Mixon.
Oh, no.
What do you hear about ticket sales and what sort of crowds would you expect initially?
You know, I haven't heard a lot about ticket sales. I know that the only things I have heard is they haven't sold the amount that they were aiming to, which is understandable. But, you know, as far as crowds, it just depends. And it's so sad about Southern Miss football now because, you know, with the level of play, and this is just the truth, so I'm just going to say it. When Ole Miss was playing a home game, and every one of their games was sold out this season, and, you know, if you didn't get a ticket to an Ole Miss game and you're an Ole Miss fan, you're going to stay home and watch the Ole Miss game and just catch what happens at Southern Miss games. So I think Southern Miss is really just hurt a lot by that. And not to mention that none of the games are just particularly that exciting. I mean, I'm sorry to say it, but it's just like – why would
are you
I,
talking about the opponents are not exciting or the actual X's just, and O's are not that exciting?
I'd say the opponents. Why would I give up a Saturday in college football to go watch Southern Miss and Southeastern Louisiana play? Like, that's just, you know, unless you're a diehard Southern Miss fan like we all are here, you know, then people who are just average football fans aren't going to do it.
But the fact that they're also at 6 o'clock at night, you can get a good dose of college football from your other inputs, whether it's whatever your favorite conference is, and still get out and support.
That's right.
Southern Miss. It's all about support.
I'm saying people aren't doing that anymore.
Here's the sad truth, Damon. In the heyday of Southern Miss football, they didn't sell the Rock out. I mean, great football team. Great football team. 26,000, 27,000. You know, right, Emma Kelly.
Yeah, that's right.
Occasionally, you would get Nebraska here. I think that was close to a sellout. Occasionally, they would get north of 30. But even in the glory days, 25,000 to 30,000.
The biggest numbers are when the SWAC teams come here.
Yeah, no, I was going to say that because Alcorn State, when they came to Southern Miss, that was a huge crowd.
Jackson State?
Jackson State.
They bring a lot of people. But let me say this.
Southeast Louisiana doesn't do that.
Right.
But here's one advantage the two schools up north have. And they don't like to talk about this. They like to boast about that attendance. But the fact of the matter is when Mississippi State plays LSU, there are 20,000 LSU people there. There'd be 40,000 if they'd sell them the tickets. When Ole Miss plays Georgia in Oxford, you don't think Georgia's selling its total allotment of tickets? Well, of course they are. That's a huge advantage they have, whereas through the years, we're playing Texas El Paso and three sets of parents and a grandmother shows up.
That's part of my argument that if I'm a Georgia fan, you know, if we just compared apples to apples, if I'm a Georgia fan, I would want to go to every single game because it's exciting to watch that level of football. As a Southern Miss fan, you know, you want to go to all the home games, but you're not going to drive all the way to James Madison to go watch that game.
No, you're not.
So, I mean, that's just, but if I was a Georgia fan, I would travel to Texas to go watch that game.
And Southern Miss has a loyal base.
Yes.
Of about 25,000 people, yes. I've got to say.
And there's probably another 25 that are really fickle. All right? If the team is doing well, they're on board.
Probably more than that.
Okay. Yeah, if they're having a good season, they're on board. If not, they jump ship. Right? What the Alumni Association, what the athletic department really needs, and I'm not trying to overstate the obvious here, is to broaden the base. So instead of having 25 base, 25,000 fickle, have a 50,000 base, you know, that you can count on. But they have not shown a consistent performance. I'm saying the fans have not performed.
Well, another point of emphasis on this is the fact that every single student at Southern Miss leaves after halftime, no matter what the score is.
Correct.
And that, to me, just shows the level of interest in the football game.
One final point I'll make, too, and that is, it's just my opinion, the university could be a lot more fan-friendly toward the average fan. The average guy who's not a big donor, brings his wife, two kids, costing him a fortune. He walks across 15 half-empty parking lots because he has to walk 3 miles, but they're not going to let you park in an empty spot unless you've paid for it. Not very fan-friendly to the average fan.
As far as that goes, you're correct. I mean, if you got a parking spot, you be there by X time, or we're letting anybody do it.
I agree. They're not going to listen to us. I'm just going to tell you that, guys.
What's that, Bob?
They're not going to listen to us.
What's that?
They're not going to listen to us.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back. DBAT sponsors this segment of the program right on Hardy Street. Great place for baseball and softball training. Also want to say hello to our friends at Genesis of Hattiesburg and Town and Country Cleaners. We appreciate all that you guys do to make the Super Talk Eagle Hour possible. Well, another generational divide surfaced during the break when Dema Mixon is telling me and Kelly that the DJ at the basketball games is not playing the music loud enough, to which I want to go,
a little bit too loud for you, Bob?
Yeah.
Dema, you're kidding me. You're joking us, right?
I'm not kidding.
Dema, it couldn't be any louder, Dema.
I disagree.
Oh, my word.
And it's that music, and the type of music, too, kind of gets you going, doesn't it?
Hey, I played basketball all throughout high school, and nothing gets me more excited when the court is literally shaking because of how loud the music is.
Well, let me tell you something, Dema. From an old guy's perspective, when you're sitting next to a person, you're sitting right beside each other, and you're having to scream at the top of your lungs for them to hear you, maybe the music's a little too loud.
Of course, I still disagree.
In fairness, Bob, at our age, we usually have to scream at each other anyway,
well,
just to be heard.
Partly true, but holy moly. Hey, Dema.
I got to tell you guys, GH just texted in a buddy of this show, and GH was talking about, you know, the parking spaces. Yeah. And he said that not long ago, Coach Fedora came back for a game.
And they made him park at the...
So GH gave Coach Fedora his parking space, and I guess Coach Fedora didn't have the placard hanging in the window. They towed Coach Fedora's car and took his keys and said...
Well, truly, there's nothing more inviting than an early fall football game when it's like 105 and the humidity's 80%, and you have to park on the far side of Forest General Hospital, and you walk through five parking lots on your way that are three-quarters empty.
Yes.
It is frustrating,
it's,
for sure.
It's horrible. It's horrible. But anyway, subject for another matter. Have you got anything positive, Dema, since I've trashed the parking situation and the damn music at the basketball game?
We got volleyball going on. We got soccer going on.
Yes. Something positive, Dema.
Well, Southern Miss soccer continues their season. What day is it today? I don't even know what day it is.
Today is Monday, the 19th of August.
Yeah, so just the 22nd at 6 p.m. on the road at Auburn. And then track and field cross country gets underway also this week on August 30th in South Alabama. And women's volleyball, as Kelly is saying, just had their black and gold invitational on Saturday. They didn't post any stats on it, so I don't know. But they do open the season against Jacksonville August 30th at 11 a.m. at the Volleyball Center, followed by Northwestern State that weekend, and then Northwestern State again that weekend as well. So it's the Golden Eagle Classic.
Any baseball news? Just thought I'd ask. No?
No baseball.
Although one more paper chain loop came off of Bob's chain today as we get close, one day closer to baseball
season.
One
day closer, yes.
Can you imagine playing soccer in these temperatures.
I can't imagine playing soccer, period.
Well, no, but,
or watching soccer.
But you, the toughest athletes on campus have got to be the women's soccer members at Southern Miss to be able to play in this kind of heat.
Let me tell you who gets no credit. When I left the scrimmage Saturday morning, and I saw Dima and all the media people in the lobby of the athletic department profusely sweating. Everyone was profusely sweating. I go across on my way home, and there's the band, buddy. They're right out there.
Oh, yeah.
They're right out there in the middle of that hot sun. Still going after it.
Yeah. It's like a daily thing for them, too.
And right now, Travis Higa and one of the drum majors, Travis Higa, the director of the Pride of Mississippi, is supposed to be here on Thursday right now. You know, things happen, but right now, scheduled to be here Thursday to kind of preview their upcoming shows. And, you know, it used to be just one show they would repeat game after game after game.
Right.
But now, man, this Pride of Mississippi, they've got a different show for each of the home games.
One bad thing happened about that, though, Kelly. As I was driving off the campus, I did see some of the Dixie Darlings, and I was so intimidated and so afraid that it was late afternoon before I could get up the courage to leave my house.
Well, those are mean and shady characters.
Those are mean women, and those white boots, just so intimidating.
And I learned a long time ago.
Maybe we should change the name.
I practiced. Let's not go there again. I remember rehearsing with the band 1 year to show everybody how difficult it is, and then
you were undoubtedly the tuba player.
I was doing the cymbals, and I learned with the cymbals you need to hold them really far out away from your body, because when you clang those cymbals, if they're not
far
away, oh my Lord in heaven,
can not hurt that, yourself.
How much time we got left in the?
Not summer. That would be his problem, but they were.
But the wool uniforms that they were wearing too, you know, back then.
Yeah,
I'm sure the uniforms.
Did you wear one of those too?
I did. It was so hot.
Hot was it? But never mind. I'm sorry. I should know better than to do
but
that.
Some of the shoes, the marching band, the shoes, they've got those rubber soles on them. Mm-hmm. That turf gets so hot sometimes that they like melt and stick on. Seriously, they'll sometimes stick on cement.
You ever heard of that?
I don't even know what we're talking about.
The rubber soles on the bottom, when they're marching on the turf that is so hot, it melts. It causes the bottom of their shoes to become gummy-like. And then they go on.
Folks, can you tell we need a football game?
I hope you didn't hit record on this one. Kelly, did you mess up the recording for this show, too?
Yeah.
Well, everything on your phone is messed up now because it's shattered in about four pieces.
Who do we have tomorrow?
Tomorrow on this program, Ben Green is going to be here from Southern Prohibition to talk about the new beer.
Well, there we go. That's positive.
That's going to be offered at the football games this year.
That's positive.
Among other things.
Finally, something positive.
I'm ready for hopefully some samples.
All right. That's not going to happen.
Oh, okay.
We'll be back tomorrow at 1. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.